Care Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
And very welcome back. We're going to take a look now at Kildare County Council's budget for 2023, and the budget as drafted represents an investment in the delivery of services to Kildare of €199 million. The main sources of income available to fund the budget are 21% goods and services, 39% specific grants, 30% rates and 10% local property tax. In 2023, the council is budgeting to spend €805 per person within the county, which is well below the national average of €1,113 per capita. Kildare County Council says this reflects the static income generated through rates and local property tax with a growing population. Now, we're going to take a look at the breakdown of expenditure and what areas are going to get what type of funding. And Caoimhe, if we start off then with housing and building.
Yeah, so 34% of this budget own will be spent on housing and building, or €66 million. So this will include housing maintenance. Kildare County Council manages and maintains 5,465 houses for KCC tenants. Management and maintenance of traveller accommodation sites, tenant liaison, management and operation of the rental accommodation scheme, management and operation of housing adaption grant schemes, administration of homeless services and housing loans and rent administration.
21% or €40 million has been allocated for roads, transport and safety. That includes regional road maintenance, of which there's 487 kilometres in Kildare, local roads maintenance, of which there's 2,034 kilometres, public lighting, 28,000 lights in the county, pay parking management and administration, road safety, the fire service. There's six fire stations in the county, including in Leixlip, Naas, Newbridge, Monastrevin, the Curra and Athy, and they attend approximately 1,500 emergency call-outs per year. Civil defence and climate action, because Kildare is regional lead of the Eastern and Midland Climate Action Regional Office in partnership with Kilkenny County Council.
Yeah, so 5% then own, or €10 million, will be spent on water services. This will include the operation, maintenance, repair of water plants, networks under an SLA with Irish Water, the operation, maintenance and repairs of wastewater plants and networks under an SLA with Irish Water as well, and the management of group water grants.
Yeah, there'll be 14% of this budget allocated, or €25 million, for development management, including the operation of the planning function, approximately 1,200 planning applications per year. Community services, including the administration of 8 community grant schemes benefiting over 800 groups and individuals annually. Heritage services, conservation services, economic development and tourism, and taking in charge of unfinished housing estates.
Then own, for environmental services, 11% of the budget will be spent, or €21 million. This will include landfill remediation, burial grounds and litter management.
There'll then be €13 million, or 7% of the budget, allocated for recreation and amenity. That includes libraries, so 15 libraries are here in the county. The management of parks and playgrounds, including 32 playgrounds, 10 outdoor gyms and 3 skate parks, and support to the arts, including the Riverbank Theatre in Newbridge.
And then €1.3 million for agriculture and education own will be spent. This includes land drainage maintenance, operation of dog warden services and the control of horses.
Okay, and then finally for miscellaneous services, 7% or €19 million for miscellaneous services. That includes local elections. There's 150,000 on the draft register of electors here in Kildare. Administration of rates over over 5,000 rateable properties, support to the coroner, member or councillor services, administration of the motor tax office. Approximately 20,000 motor tax transactions are processed in Kildare annually. MD funded and directed general municipal allocation, management of corporate buildings, staff training and recruitment, IT services, payments, corporate services and insurance. So that's just a general breakdown of Budget 2023. As we said, it represents an investment in the delivery of services to Kildare of €199 million, and the sources of income that are available include goods and services, specific grants, rates and local property tax. So just to recap, there's going to be €66 million for housing and building. There's also going to be €40 million for roads, transport, safety. Also €10 million for water services, €25 million for development management, €21 million for environmental services, €13 million for recreation and amenity, €1.3 million for agriculture and education, and then €19 million for miscellaneous services. So that's a breakdown of Kildare County Council's budget for 2023. You can get more information on www.kildarecoco.ie if you want to find out more there. And shortly we're going to be talking to Councillor Rob Power on his views on budget 2023. I know that he had said there's a 1% rate charge for housing here in the county. He was talking about possibly increasing that to 3%, but it's going to stay at 1%, and we're going to be joined by Rob Power very, very shortly here on KFM. Another one in from us here then, in terms of messages that have come to us. Would you please send wedding anniversary greetings to my granddaughter Amanda Dunn and her husband Stephen. Hope you have a lovely day, says Teresa. Please wish Michael Moran in Ballyshannon in Suncroft a very happy birthday. That comes in with lots of love from Andy and Patricia. And a big happy 50th birthday to Anne in Robertstown. Lots of love from all the family and friends there. Right, Fianna Fáil councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Rob Power. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Owen.
We just went through there the allocation of the budget 2023. You had raised issues about this, particularly around the rates for housing, was it?
No, rates for business.
For business, okay. Rate. What did you what did you raise about that?
Well, apologies, I missed the last segment that you might have had on there, so I don't want to cover go over ground. But as you will be aware, there was a 1% increase in the commercial rates. And there was every effort made, in fairness, by the Finance Committee and by the team in Kildare County Council to reduce that and to make it as minimal as possible. And I think they've done a good job there. I think 1% is going to see, it'll see an increase of in around €20 a year for our lowest, say, 37% of businesses. So, and there's always debate about, you know, is now the right time? And it usually never is. Are we going to impact businesses too much? And I tried to come up with a kind of a middle ground solution, which would allow us to bring in more revenue to support the activities of the council and the demands that are placed on us, rightly so, by the public for increased services, but also being cognizant of businesses. Now, the proposal I came up with was a 3% increase in rates, which offhand may sound more draconian, but actually factored into that was all of the good stuff that's probably been spoken about before in the 1% increase, which would be, you know, enhanced library services, enhanced community services, more climate action works. That's already been factored into the budget, and that is going ahead. But if you like, the extra 2% that I would have suggested there, 1% of that would have fed directly back to our small businesses. So between 55 and 70% of our businesses, we would have given an energy grant, which would have negated any increase for them. So that money, I think, could have been used to offset that small minimal 1% increase, and also to develop a 500,000 economic development fund, which I think would be well placed to support Kildare in our endeavours over the next few years to drive further economic development in the county and job growth.
Okay, it's going to stay at 1% though. Why is that? Why was it not taken up that it would increase to 3% if you, as you've suggested and highlighted, the supposed benefits of it?
Yeah, and look, I was on this show a year ago saying that we will need to look at rates, and that was called out by by the chief executive, by former chief executive a couple of years ago before COVID, and by the current chief executive previously, that we would need to see that. And in fairness, we can't have a situation where the citizens of Kildare are at the bottom of the pile in terms of the services that they're getting. We need to keep pace with inflation and we need to be able to deliver on their behalf. So it is important that we look at this. So really what I wanted to do was move the debate along and say that increasing rates is not a taboo subject. We are a little bit hamstrung in the way that we do it, in that the rates is a very old system. It's based on square footage and valuations, a very complex valuation system as well, and we have to work within that mechanism. But within that mechanism, it does allow us to say, you know, it allows us to see that within Kildare, 55% of our business, our businesses are actually paying the lowest amount, and we're bringing in about 87% of the revenue we bring in comes from the top 13% of businesses. So what that means is, trying to explain this in a simple way, is that if we increase by a percentage, but we grant back in a fixed way. So for the example that I proposed was a 100 euro energy grant. Like a 100 euro energy grant would negate the cost for the vast majority of businesses. But for the likes of our big supermarkets, our Intels, and those big square foot premises, the data centres and our warehouses, that kind of thing, the 100 euro is not going to really break the bank or not going to make a difference there. But it would offset the cost for the smaller businesses and for the main street, which is our main responsibility as a council is driving increased footfall and longevity for those businesses.
Okay, what about the budget as a whole then? Was that widely welcomed by councillors the other day, Rob? 199 million euro. Did you see that as sufficient?
Yeah, well, look, it's always, you'd always like more. There are more projects that we could be doing. I mean, in previous years, we've tried to weather the financial storm by reducing things like public lighting and burial grounds that maybe could have been offset by a couple of years. We're now at a stage where that's been fed back into the budget. Like, we have to action on those, and that is being done. So, look, you'd always like more, but we do try to strike a balance between how much we ask of businesses in particular. We'll always push national government for more funding. And I don't speak for all of the councillors, of course, but I think there was a good sentiment in the room that what we're doing here is positive. There was a lot more work, as I say, on libraries and community. And also, increasingly every year, we're seeing more and more action on climate action, climate initiatives. We've two new officers going into the council there now who will be exclusively focused on that, as well as an increase in their budget. So I think really, really positive budget. I think very welcome. It was good to have the debate on it, and it was a very good and open debate that we had in the chamber. And if I'm not mistaken, the budget was adopted by the vast majority. There were, I wouldn't say there was consensus, and I think Fine Gael didn't support the final the final decision, but that was as a result of the discussion over the commercial rates. But look, it was an amicable discussion, and I think it was would widely be agreed by councillors that it was a positive budget.
Okay, Fianna Fáil councillor Rob Power, thanks for joining us this morning, Rob, and good morning to you, of course, of the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District. Another councillor on that MD, Fine Gael's Tracy O'Dwyer. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Owen. Thank you for having me on.
What's your reaction, first of all, before we go to some of the local issues that you've been raising to Budget 2023? Rob Power referenced there that maybe Fine Gael weren't supporting the final number at the end.
I suppose, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I would be a supporter of business, in particular small business, because they're the heart of our towns and our community. And I was not in favour of the 1% increase in rates, because at a time when energy costs and all other costs are increasing, and, you know, particularly small business, you know, they don't know what bills are coming in the door. And I just thought this was not the way to do it. I also believed there were other options to balance the budget. And, you know, I think we could have explored them further. But, you know, commercial rates increase of 1% at a time when small business don't even know how much their energy bill is going to cost next month. You know, I just think it really wasn't the support I could support, you know, and I felt that there were other ways to do it. And so for that reason, I didn't support the 1% increase on business.
Right. What about the general allocation then of 199 million euro? Does it go far enough in your view?
Look, there's always more we could do, and we are a very busy county, and, you know, we definitely could do with more funding, that's for sure. And we have a lot of demands on our local authority. But, you know, I would trust that they will do the best that they can with the money they have. I think we definitely could do with more money. There's no doubt about that. And we have lots of challenges facing us. But it was a very positive budget. I thought there was a lot in it. I thought it definitely addressed the greater needs of housing. you know, are taking in charge of estates. And, you know, I would definitely hope that we will actually see some improvements on the ground, some real tangible improvements in the next term, I suppose, the next 2 years anyway, or the next year, we will see some improvements. You know, we're already seeing improvements in taking in charge of estates in Kildare, and that is as a result of an increase in resources in that department. So, you know, additional resources have proven to deliver, and I would hope that this budget will do the same.
Okay, take me out to Kinnaird Cross then, Tracy. There's two official bus stops out there, but you were calling for a safety assessment to be carried out. Why is that?
Yeah, Kinnaird Cross Junction, most people will know it, it's an extremely busy junction, and only in the last year we've seen the line markings upgraded at this junction to alert drivers to slow down because it's a combination of high volume and high speed. And on the edge of the road we have people, pedestrians, waiting for buses, standing with no protection, no barrier between them and the road. And on one side of the road the bus stop pole is placed on an uneven grass bank, and this is where pedestrians are expected to stand. On the other side of the road, it's the pole is kind of hidden behind a hedge, but again, that's where pedestrians are expected to stand on the side of the road. And I would just like to see the provision of bus stops and shelters a priority to allow people safely access public transport. The report from the council was positive and confirmed the two bus stops are on the Connecting Ireland programme, and the council are currently seeking funding to implement this programme. The council are waiting on an update from the NTA or TFI because this is where the funding is going to come from. So I will keep pursuing that. But look, as soon as the money comes, they have identified that definitely something has to be done there to make those two bus stops safer for pedestrians.
Okay, you mentioned line markings there were upgraded at Kinnaird Cross. Is there an issue to do with line markings in the centre of Kilcullen around Eurospar?
Well, we have line markings. There's a yellow box, and I suppose it's important to note from the outset that the car park at the rear of Eurospar in Kilcullen is an example of a very effective car park. And it's actually used by many people coming into Kilcullen to shop, not just in the supermarket. You know, we all use it to do our business throughout the town. So we'd be lost without this car park. But when the entrance at the rear of the car park is blocked because a vehicle is in the middle of the yellow box, it has a huge impact on the traffic lights and accessing the town. And it actually prevents traffic from moving freely. And unfortunately, this can be a regular occurrence. So again, very positive report from the council. They've agreed to repaint the yellow box, and hopefully by making the yellow box stand out and a bit more visible, it will remind drivers not to block the entrance, because this car park is used by everybody that comes into Kilcullen and is a crucial car park to the town.
Okay, I see as well you were looking or querying whether or not the widening of the road from the traffic lights in Atgarvan back towards Newbridge could happen. Is it going to happen?
Yes, this is a project I've been working on for the past 3 years to get movement on it, and it just seems to have been going around the houses, to be honest. But we all know this narrow section of road from the Atgarvan Inn, just used as a landmark back towards Newbridge. But at the meeting on Wednesday, I received confirmation that the project has now been placed on the 3-year capital programme, and a consultant team will be appointed in 2024 to commence delivery on this project. So that's really great news to finally see this road going on a list, and once it gets on that list, then it'll be followed through. So great news.
All right, and finally then, Tracy, you were looking to see how many people have listed Kilcullen as their first preference on the housing list, broken down by year. Is there many people that want to live and move out to Kilcullen? I'm sure there is. It's a lovely town.
There is indeed. You know, I'm working with lots of people, and many people, unfortunately, on the housing waiting list, and I just felt that from the people I'm working with anyway, the greater need is 1 and 2 beds. So I wanted to see, did the data support my thinking? And the data received in response to the question is very interesting, as it clearly highlights the need for 1 and 2 bed homes in Kilcullen. The report actually confirmed that 179 people are waiting on a 1 bed unit in Kilcullen, 188 on a 2 bed unit, 74 for 3 beds, and 5 families or people for 4 bed units. So we do have some new housing developments in Kilcullen, which is great, and it'll certainly help, but they're not going to address the need for all the 1 and 2 bed units. And I would hope that the council take note of the type of homes that are needed, as in 1 and 2 bed units, and that some planning incentive can be put in place to make it more affordable to build 1 and 2 bed units going forward, because that is the problem.
On that, Tracy, do you think Kilcullen will be able to meet the demand of the housing estates that are going in there in terms of school places, infrastructure, etc.? Has it got scope for more houses to go in?
We have an extension planned for our secondary schools. You know, that's going to start in the next year or two, hopefully, if not sooner. And, you know, I think we can certainly cope with a certain amount, like any town. You know, we have to take our share and we have to work with it. But, you know, the majority of these people are already living in our town already, you know, but they're renting. So it's just, it's not that there would be a huge influx. You know, a lot of the people I'm working with already live in Kilcullen or around Kilcullen, but they're just in the rental market. So it's, you know, forever homes that we're trying to get for people and more stability in our community. So it would be looking after people already in our community, which I think is very important.
Okay, Fine Gael, councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Tracy O'Dwyer, thanks for your time. Tracy, let's go then from the Kilcullen area, just over the border to West Wicklow, and Deputy Jennifer Whitmore, Social Democrats TD for Wicklow, has met with Dublin Bus to discuss the possibility of expanding the 65 bus route in West Wicklow to include the town of Baltinglass. And Jennifer Whitmore is on the line now. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Owen.
This issue, you've raised it a number of times previously. You met with Dublin Bus then earlier this week. Give us a bit of background here with the 65 route.
Yeah, so I suppose essentially, you know, people across the county and across the country indeed have seen some difficulties in relation to the bus service lately. I think it's well known that, you know, both Dublin Bus and Go Ahead and indeed Bus Éireann have issues with driver retention, and that was leading to difficulties with services. And I did a public consultation on it. I went out on Facebook locally just to say, look, what's the situation? What are people finding? And I suppose one of the bit of feedback that came back from West Wicklow was that the service to West Wicklow, even when it's operating well, is not sufficient really to meet the needs of West Wicklow. And I think particularly, you know, areas like Baltinglass and Blessington are seeing an increase in population size. We're seeing a lot more people who are travelling in and out to Dublin. And so this was the thing that was frequently raised with me during that consultation. I also do think that people in West Wicklow sort of find that a lot of the focus when it comes to public transport is on the east coast of Wicklow. And obviously then the you know, that the service or the their needs aren't really being passed on to Dublin Bus. So one of the things that was raised with me was the 132 service and the fact that it goes from Baltinglass into Dublin every day, but it's a very low frequency service. So, the you know, I think one bus gets in around 8:15 into Dublin in the morning, and the next one then is after 10 o'clock. Which obviously, if you want to get from Baltinglass into town to work, isn't going to be suitable. So people were saying, okay, this service needs to be upgraded. We need more frequency. And then similarly, people were talking about the 65A, which is a very popular service. You know, people find the Dublin bus service a really good one, but again, they were saying we need more frequency that would be really useful if we had that. But as well, people said, is there any opportunity? Because at the moment, the 65 goes to Blessington. And people were asking me, is there any opportunity to actually get that to go down to Baltinglass so it could feed Baltinglass as well? So a couple of weeks ago, I had an opportunity to raise all these issues in an Oireachtas Transport Committee. With Dublin Bus, and at that time I just said, look, if this was raised with me, can you look into perhaps increased frequency and expanding the 65? So they said they would. But I suppose it's something that I want to keep in contact and close contact with Dublin Bus on. So I arranged for a meeting with them this week. They came to my office in Leinster House and we had a good chat about their service. And again, I asked, would they actually look at the 65 and just see what could be done with it so that it does meet the needs of those in Blessington, West Wicklow, and, you know, potentially if there was a way that it could get down to Baltinglass, that would be really useful for people.
Because that 65 bus route, as I understand it at the moment, it operates every 2 hours from Dublin as far as Blessington, and some services terminate in Ballymore Eustace here in Kildare, so some of them aren't even extending as far as West Wicklow.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, so there could be potential to tweak the service, or, you know, I mean, ideally we would have an expansion down to Baltinglass. Now, someone has raised with me the distance factor for Dublin Bus, so I'm not sure if that will be an issue. The Dublin Bus didn't say to me when I had the meeting. But look, I think it's really important that they examine it and come back with their suggestions and see whether or not it's something that they could do. And if not, then, you know, then I'll engage with Bus Éireann to see whether there's something can be done with the frequency there, because, you know, we're all being encouraged to use public transport. And I think even the fact that, you know, fuel costs are just so high at the moment, that it's really important that we have a service that really meets the needs of the community. And you know, the feedback that I'm getting from people in West Wicklow is really valuable. And by passing that on to Dublin Bus, hopefully they'll be able to do something with it. I mean, one of the other issues that's been raised with me as well about West Wicklow is that particularly for, say, Blessington and Bolton Glass, a lot of the health services are actually provided in Kildare. So, you know, people who need to get, you know, public health nurses, that kind of thing, need to get over to Kildare. But the public transport isn't there to provide that. And I think that's also something that needs to be looked at. And I have been talking to Dublin Bus about that as well, you know, because I think if you have that service provision and it's in a different county, there really is a need to make sure that people can get there for free. It's not acceptable to expect people to get taxis over, and that'll be something I'll be raising with the HSC as well.
It's an interesting point that you raise as well. And just to finish on this then, Jennifer, is if you look at East Wicklow, you have the likes of Bray and Greystones and, you know, a great train system there, DART system that would get you in and out of town quite easily. But maybe sometimes, as you say, West Wicklow feels like the forgotten relation because it can be quite difficult to get in and out of Dublin.
Yeah, so I think Wicklow is such a big county that there's, you know, many different needs across it. Now, people in the east, the bus service and the train service on the east coast isn't great either. Even when the service is there, it can be full, or, you know, there can be capacity issues. And, you know, but so I think it's about looking at county, at what its strengths are from a public transport perspective and where we can build on it. So say with the likes of West Wicklow, I think it definitely needs more services in and out to Dublin. It needs more services to Kildare, to link with Kildare. But one of the other things that I have been really vocal about, and I absolutely love this bus service, and I don't know why, you know, the government isn't pumping more money into it, but it's the local link services. And that, like, that is just a fantastic service, a community bus that can do short trips around villages or between villages, so that, you know, elderly people or school kids can get to school, that kind of stuff. And I think something like that would be really good for West Wicklow. Now, I know that there has been an improvement in that. There is actually now a local link service for between Arklow and Blessington and Naas, I think it is. And, you know, so that's really good progress. You may not use the entirety of the journey, but certainly it will help in West Wicklow getting between the different villages. But really, that's the kind of service that we need for those smaller villages. And then for commuters, we need really good commuter services in and out of the city. So it's a matter, I suppose, of looking at the different needs of the different parts of the county and then talking to those particular service providers to try improve that aspect of the service.
Okay, Social Democrats TD for Wicklow, Jennifer Whitmore, calling for that 65 Dublin bus route to be expanded as far as Balton Glass and other parts of West Wicklow. And having met with Dublin Bus, we'll keep on top of it here, and any update that we get from Jennifer Whitmore, we'll bring it to you here. Thanks, Jennifer.